Il-program li ser tisimaw huwa miġjub lilkom bix-xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.
This is Patricia Camilleri, welcoming you to University Matters on Campus FM. In this series, together, we shall continue to discover more about the work of the university's academics and about the many activities that will be taking place on campus over the next year. I'm very happy to have with me in the studio for University Matters on Campus FM today, Dr. Rita Cannas. Just a few words about my guest. She holds a Laurea Magistralis in Political Science from the University of Cagliari in Sardinia, Italy, a Master in Research Methodology from the University of Strathclyde in the UK, and a PhD from the University of Bologna. At present, she is a Marie Curie Fellow at the Institute for Tourism, Travel and Culture here, the University of Malta. Her research interests are in sustainable tourism development, authenticity and empowerment of community in tourism, and also tourism policies. Welcome to you, Dr. Cannas.
Thank you.
Well, perhaps we can start off by talking a little bit about Marie Curie Action. Perhaps you could explain to us what the main aims of this particular program are.
It's a research fellowship program, and it's aimed to support the career development and training of researchers with a focus on innovation skills in all scientific disciplines through international and intersector mobility. Sorry for my English, I'm quite, you know, I feel quite emotional about this situation.
That's but fine.
I'm very happy to be here and to speak with you and with all the audience about this topic, because it's very important to spread, you know, information about what Marie Curie Action are. It's a very, very important program for all researchers. And, you know, why is so important, this program? Because it gives the opportunity to enhance your skills as a researcher and to work in an international environment. For instance, I am Italian. Okay. First of all, I am Sardinia. Secondly, I'm Italian. This is important for an Icelander like me. And, you know, thanks to Marie Curie Action, I am here. I have the opportunity to spend my time within an international environment such the University of Malta is. So I think this is the more important thing that I would like to stress about this program.
And when you decided to apply for the Marie Curie Action, what exactly did you have to do? I mean, how did you go about your application?
The Marie Curie Actions have a portal. There is a participant portal that everyone can find on the website, and there are open calls. At the moment, there are two open calls in 2014. You know, a researcher has to, you know, to have a look inside the website, and then start thinking how to apply. You know, at the beginning, when I applied in 2012, I was 2012. I thought, okay, but this program is so difficult for a researcher. How can I get the grant?
Was it complicated? Was that why it was difficult?
No, it's not complicated, because, you know, you can find all the there is the guide online, and the guide is well structured, so you can find every part. You have the instruction how to do your proposal. So this is quite helpful. And of course, you have to start from an idea. You have to develop an idea, research idea, in every sector of in every discipline. So you can be an economist, you can be a sociologist, or whatever you want. And it's important to, you know, to have a good idea. And another thing is important to structure very well your research proposal. And of course, it's very important the institution that you choose for your experience. So for this reason, you know, I'm here. So I chose the University of Malta.
Mm. And that choice fell to us because of what aspects of the university, really? What interested you particularly in this university rather than another one?
As you told before, my research topic, it's about sustainable tourism. So my idea was to develop a research about sustainable tourism. So I started my research about, the host institution. And in life, sometimes it's important, the serendipity, because you are looking for something, then you get, you find other things in your life. I had a contact on LinkedIn with a lecturer of the Institute for Tourism, Travel and Culture. It's an institute of the University of Malta. It's the institution who's hosting me at the moment, okay? Alfred Quintano. And so one day I just sent him an email. What do you think if I ask to your institute for being for being hosted by you for my research project? And he said, okay, I will speak with the director of the institute, who is Nadia Teoma, mm-hmm. and then I will get you an answer as soon as possible. And so
it all happened.
Yes.
It all happened.
So you know what? Patricia, it's very important. Sometimes we think that some social networks are just for fun, but this is not correct. Social networks are also useful for getting jobs and for networking with people, for creating new contacts. So it has been very
absolutely.
Useful, for my experience.
Mm-hmm. And sustainable tourism, again, perhaps we could have a bit of a definition before going into it and seeing what you're actually doing here at the university. A nice definition of sustainable tourism.
Sustainable tourism regards three aspects, three pillars. There is the pillar of economics. The pillar about society, another pillar regards the environment. So when we consider, for example, sustainable tourism, this means that we are considering all the aspects of sustainability. So sustainability is not a question of getting more tourists or getting more revenues. It's important, the social aspect, for instance, we can think about cultural aspect. So tourism can be, a useful economic sector, but also can be a terrible economic sector. I mean, for pollution, for the environments. So tourism is a
double-edged sword,
yeah,
really.
Yes. So the sustainability means that we have to combine the economy with the environment. I think this is a crucial crucial point for Malta, for tourism in Malta, because tourism in Malta is an extraordinary economic sector. Tourism in Malta is, the quota of tourism is around 30% of GDP. So it's a huge, huge quote. Trying to imagine what does it mean in terms of, the consume of the resources. So this is part of my research topic. But I'm not studying, I'm studying Malta, as well I'm studying Sardinia tourism sector.
In fact, so I was going to ask you, you come from an island, so you're an islander as well, and there must be some points of joint interest, really, given the fact that, I mean, Sardinia is a much larger island, of course, than Malta, but there must be some similarities.
Yes, there are some similarities. Of course, we can't compare, Sardinia and Malta just for a question of size.
Okay. Definitely not.
Because, Malta is like a rock of Sardinia in some way. There is a little island called Sant'Antioco, Which can be, I think, is one third of the surface, you know, of the size of Malta. So there is no comparison for the question of, you know, dimension, size, you know, also the numbers of the inhabitants. So in Malta, you are 400,000 inhabitants. In Sardinia, we are more than 1.5 million. Doesn't matter the question of size. It's interesting to, you know, to analyze the tourism performances related to these two different areas.
And what kind of things attract the tourists in Sardinia? I would have thought there was a similarity in the sense that you have an extremely important prehistory. You have, you know, you have obviously surrounded by a wonderful sea. So there's sort of this water tourism, marine tourism. I imagine there are similarities in that sense. Obviously, in Sardinia, everything's on a grander scale.
Of course, we belong to the same culture. Okay, we are Mediterranean people. And I found this as a fantastic aspect for being here, because, you know, I feel at home. I don't feel, you know, as you know, I studied in Glasgow, okay, at Strathclyde University, and I stayed for 3 years in Glasgow. It was difficult, you know, to understand each other, especially because they don't speak an understandable English.
Well, they Scots speak accents is yeah. quite difficult to
yes. But here in Malta is fantastic because you speak English, but you speak in English in a very funny way, and I love so much. For me, it's very understandable, so this is important.
And quite a few people will chip in Italian as well.
Yes.
Fill in the gaps.
Okay, I turn off my TV, I can see the Italian TV, so I feel at home.
Exactly.
And it's fantastic because people are so helpful. When you ask for example for information in the street, people are easy going and I find
willing to help out.
Yes, very very helpful. So I love to stay here. I don't feel like what can I say,
a stranger.
Yes, a stranger. No,
one of us.
Regarding the question of tourism, there are many differences. You know what? There is some. Although Sardinia is bigger than the Malta, I think that there are lessons to learn in Malta about, you know, the topic of tourism, because you have a lot of tourists for being a small island, and it's interesting to study your policy for tourism, and also the way in which the local stakeholders are running their businesses. So I think it's quite interesting to compare or just to find some interesting good practices. So this is my aim.
What we have is a mixture of the what we call the bucket and spade tourism, which is more summer, beach, hotel, pool oriented, and then another type of tourism which would be more culturally oriented, shall we say. And now we're also getting in the eco-tourism, which has also come in for some criticism. So it goes back to that question you were saying about tourists can be a blessing, but perhaps also not a blessing in certain contexts. What have you found in Malta? Are you looking into those? I imagine you're looking into those sort of issues.
There are some points that I'm following at the moment. The main question of Malta is that here, the dimension of tourism is so high, so huge. So you are going to have around 1.5 million tourists per year. So it's a huge numbers of tourists, you know. So I think that your main problem is how to manage the quantitative, you know, the quantitative of tourism, rather than the, you know, of course. The challenge is how to improve the quality of tourism in Malta, for instance, in environmental terms. This is, I think, is the challenge for the next, for the next years.
We have many of that million and one tourists actually come on the cruise ships as well. So I think we also have a challenge in how we present Malta to that large number of tourists that are coming off the boats for a short period of time and then going back on the boats. And I always wonder what kind of an impression of Malta those short-term tourists are receiving. Is that a problem in your in Sardinia as well, or not?
In Sardinia we have cruise tourism, but not in the same dimension as Malta is having, especially in the last years. But we have territory for tourism, and we have, we are structured for reaching more tourists than we really get. Help me for English.
That's fine.
Translate
well
it, in a correct English. So in Sardinia we don't have the problem of the environmental impacts of tourists. We have another problem. We have less tourists that we can host. Oh. Okay, we have the opposite problem if we put together the situation of Malta and Sardinia. Regarding the cruise tourists, try to imagine what happens in some days in Medina, okay? When something like 12,000 of tourists reach Medina in the same hours. I think this a nightmare of Medina. I think that, we have to think about the carrying capacity of the territories, the places, the city. I think that I'm aware that it's not a popular topic, especially for politicians, okay? But I think we have to put as a first point the sustainability of the territory in every sense. So I think
limiting the number of people that can actually cross the bridge into Medina per day,
probably.
Something like they suggest in Venice. I mean, on a different scale, of course.
Yes, but try to imagine. So it's a nightmare for people of Venice. They have some days there are 1 million of tourists in the city. The city is a small city, Venice is a treasure, but it's a treasure. You can't put in a small place so many people.
I mean, there's the physical damage of the tramping feet, literally. I mean, but also the restaurants, for example, would like it, but so then you get perhaps an over commercialization. I mean, is that
yes.
it? Is that one of the problems, do you think?
Yeah. There is a special topic in tourism that is called commodification of tourism. So I think that Venice is a case of commodification of tourists, but in the negative sense, because how can you offer how is possible to get any quality in a place in which there are a million of people? So there is a number of restaurants, a number of bars, and numbers of facility. So it's
a finite number, really.
A numero finito.
Exactly.
Okay. A numero finito. So I think
we already do this in a sense in the Hypogeum, for example, where it's a place that has a limited amount of tourists. There only 10 people can go down at any one time. Every hour there is a set number of people that can go down into the Hypogeum. So
yes.
it has worked there, but there you're not talking about a place where most tourists would want to go. You're talking about more like the cultural tourist, the kind of tourist that comes to Malta for cultural reasons. So it's sort of worked there. I don't know whether something like that would be possible in somewhere like Medina.
Who knows? But I think that you know, no one, I think, that in Malta claims about the fact that if you want to reach the hypogeum, you have to book.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's...
We've got used to it.
So I think it's accepted by people. So probably this can be the future for many, you know, facilities in Malta.
Yes, making it sustainable, so we don't lose we don't kill the golden goose, as they say, really.
I think
that's an interesting concept. And what other aspect of sustainability have you been looking into? I mean, do you look into ecotourism? This is something new for Malta.
I think it's difficult to talk about ecology in Malta. Of course, you have your treasure, your natural treasures, and these treasures are the beaches and you know, all the aspects related to the sun, no, and to the sea, especially to the sea. Sorry, not for the sun, the sea. You don't have forests, or you don't have any natural parks. I mean, you know, when I talk about natural parks,
we don't have rivers, like
Dolomites,
yes.
You know, Alpi. So in Sardinia we have some national parks, and also we have protected areas, huge extension of parks. I think the issues, the tricky question of ecology and sustainability in Malta is related to the way to consider the territory. It doesn't matter if you have rocks, okay? Your rocks are important, not only for tourism, but also for your life. I think that we have to move from the concept that sustainable tourism is only for tourists. First of all, sustainability is addressed to local people. When the quality of your life is good, so it's good also for tourists. So first of all, I think there is it's important to stress the attention and to focus on local people, on the quality of local people. So you can't have quality if you have pollution, for instance. So if we talk about sustainable tourism, we have also to talk about the traffic in Malta. And the fact that in Malta is like a bin of, if I use this metaphor, but it's like the bin of the old cars in Europe, especially of UK and Japan. I think you deserve it, to increase the quality of the air. And, you know, how can you attract high niches of tourism if you don't impact in the unsustainability of the normal life of people.
The traffic is really a big problem for us all, and as you say, it will impact also on tourism. One thing which I read in your bio that you're interested in, and I'm particularly interested in it myself, is the authenticity. In a tourism context, tell us what you mean by authenticity.
It's difficult to talk about authenticity in Malta, because you have your own authenticity, but I can't define the authenticity in Malta. Probably, but I can give you an example. For myself, for my experience as a tourist here in Malta, okay, what I love so much are the feasts that you have in summer. I think that it's like a heritage of UNESCO. You know, I've been for instance, in the feast of Saint Joseph in Msida, where I live, and you know, I was surprised for the fireworks and for the way in which people live the feast, because the feast is everybody. There are no social classes in the feast. all the people, you know, it's an example of the full democracy, you know, because all the people, and sometimes there is a my friend, Carmel Casar, who is a professor at the Institute for Tourism, Travel and Culture, and he brings me, you know, in the Feast of Malta, and he explains, you know, the episodes, some curious stories. For example, there are women that don't have so much money for living, but they prepare, you know, some textile or something like that for the saint of the village.
Absolutely.
So everyone gives, you know, a contribution for the feast. I think I found this, you know, part of the authenticity of Malta.
Yes, it is
so
very authentic.
I think that your authenticity is not in the beaches, because you have you probably had nice beaches, but now it's, you know, for my standards, that is not, you know, your beaches. You know, but I'm Sardinia. I have to recognize that I'm Sardinia. I have other point of view. For me, the beach is a long, white, and a quiet place in which to sunbathing. So last year, I've been in one beach, and I had to escape because it was a nightmare. It was for me, it has been not a nice experience. But what has been extraordinary experience is the Feast of Saint Joseph, in which I brought my niece. She was doing an English course, you know, in Malta, and we went together. We had a lot of fun. And you know, for us, when we think, you know, an image about Malta, for us, you know, the first image is the fireworks and the people enjoying in the religious feast, and it's interesting the fact how you combine religious and not religious aspect of the feast.
So, and there's something very familiar, even though the feasts are different in different villages, there's something very familiar. People, even Maltese people, go from one feast to the other. They spend their summer going from one feast to the other, and it gives a sense of place and a sense of security, knowing that these feasts are going on and they're more or less the same structure every year. I'm sure it gives a sense of solidarity and familiarity to Maltese people, and I know that tourists enjoy them as well.
You know what? That is sustainable tourism, because, you know, there is the welcoming of people, of every kind of people. I think that this is the aspect that I love so much of Malta.
Well, with that positive comment, I'd like to thank Dr. Rita Canas for coming to talk to us on University Matters on Campus FM today about sustainable tourism. Thank you so much.
Thank you, thank you.
You've been listening to University Matters on Campus FM. Do join me again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye. Il programma li għadkom kem smajtu kien miġjub lilkom bix-xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.